What is the difference between the wicked and the righteous? Psalm 36 provides an answer for us. Keep listening in as we examine this text.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit.
Good morning. Welcome to Perception. My name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this program called Perception, a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls. Have you ever thought about calling Bible things by Bible names? I would recommend that you do so. For when we use biblical terminology, we understand those things biblically. We seek biblical answers and solutions. Whereas when we fail to use biblical terminology, then it does not occur to us that the Bible addresses a certain issue. However, if we use the Bible to guide us in our thinking, to look at problems and then their solutions, we'll find success in life. Whereas if we don't address biblical things by biblical names, we will not seek biblical remedies but worldly ones. We should learn to interpret things we hear in the world in biblical ways. The world is not going to use biblical terminology. That does not mean we have to become locked into the world's thinking. Therefore, with every situation of life, literally speaking, ask yourself how the Bible addresses that situation. For example, apply this to crime and wickedness. Now, the word crime only occurs in Judges 9:24 in the New King James Version, which is the version that I use. Now, when you hear the words crime and criminal, do you start thinking biblically? When you read in the Bible of wickedness and all its synonyms, do you apply those passages to criminals and their crimes? What do you believe are the reasons for criminal behavior? Do you even believe that the Bible gives the reasons? If you do, can you back up your answers with Scripture? If you are not using Scripture, then what are you using? Let's go now to Psalm 36 to learn to think as God does about the wicked. I'm going to read the first four verses, which says, "An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil." An oracle in the heart of David. Psalm 36, my friends, is not David's opinion but he spoke by the Spirit of the Lord. However, inspiration by the Holy Spirit did not mean that the writer did not think. David knew what he wanted to say. He believed these things in his heart because they made sense. He observed them in life, and the Spirit of the Lord communicated these things to him. The wicked transgress because there is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the root of all evil and of all crime. In Romans chapter 3, you can find a text where Paul gives us a long list of sins committed by the wicked. It is all summarized in verse 18, when Paul quoted from Psalm 36:1 and said, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." This is why Solomon said that the whole purpose of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. That's found in Ecclesiastes 12:13. You see, if a man does not fear God, there is no restraint upon that man's soul. Truly, he will do the things that David lists in Psalm 36 that I just read to you a few moments ago. This is why we're trying to tell the world, please do not remove God out of the education of America's youth, because it will lead to violence, fornication, and all of the other problems with which the educational system is struggling. When God is removed from before the eyes of boys and girls, men and women, they will turn to the things David lists, as well as other sins. Also, David said the transgressions of the wicked include the fact that he flatters himself in his iniquity. His words are wicked. He is not wise. He does not do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. You know, I hear people say all the time that criminals and the wicked do not have a choice. And then they'll blame their wicked behavior on lack of money, that is the fact the person is poor, the government, the majority race of people in the country, genetics, and now even evolution. In fact, there is a new book out called The Natural History of Rape. When Vice President Al Gore was asked by Larry King the reason for school violence, the vice president said this: "You can hardly take your eyes away from it. I think that violence has that capacity because of our evolutionary heritage, because of the laws of nature, tooth and fang. And we have, with our power of conscience, with our beliefs in God, if we have those, as most of us Americans do, we have the ability to overcome those impulses with higher ones. We have the ability to overcome evil with good. But I think that heritage is always present with us. It was, for most of humankind's existence, part of our way of surviving. And so I think it has a primitive appeal." That was from former Vice President Al Gore. My friends, do you remember what Proverbs 23 says? I'm going to give you verse 7 in a few moments here. But before I read it, I want to introduce this thought. If I believe I have arrived by the violence of evolution, then I believe I shall gain more by more violence. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Now, going back to Psalm 36, what does David say? The wicked are busy thinking of how to commit their evil. He drinks, eats, and sleeps wickedness. He commits evil because that is what he wants to do. He sets himself in a way that is not good. Now, if you listen to the world, including the government, psychologists, counselors, the media, Hollywood, and others, you will conclude that others are responsible for the criminal's behavior rather than the criminal himself. David, by the Holy Spirit, was under the impression that the criminal, that is, the wicked man himself, sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. These things that are listed about the wicked show how senseless wickedness or crime is. This leads some people to say that criminals are sick. No, my friends, they are just wicked, and what they need is the grace of God. Now, in the next section of Psalm 36, which is verses 5 through 11, David now speaks about the fact that the righteous trust God. He says this, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." Now, in verses 1 through 4, David explained the seven sins of the wicked. Now, in verses 5 through 9, David shows the sevenfold trust of the righteous. In verse 5, he said, number 1, they know of his mercy. Again, verse 5, they know of his faithfulness. Verse 6, they know of his righteousness. Again, verse 6, they know of his judgments. And yet again, verse 6, they know of his protection. Verse 7, they know of his loving kindness. And then in verses 8 and 9, they know of his providence. The difference between the wicked and the righteous is this. You can summarize the wicked, that is the criminal, by saying he does not fear God. But the righteous is summarized by saying he trusts God. Now observe in verses 5 and 6 how David pictures the four qualities of God. They are far above us in the heavens, lower in the clouds, lower like the great mountains, and below us in the great deep. When one man was asked whether he found the scriptures as full and as fresh as when he commenced studying them 50 years earlier, he replied, "My dear brother, I find I am but touching the fringe of a vast expanse." Romans 11 agrees with this assessment of God and his judgments, which are found in the scriptures. Romans 11, 33 through 36 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever." And then Paul concludes by saying, "Amen." And Paul, we say amen with you. We agree. Job 26, verse 14, preaches this same truth poetically, saying, "Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear of him. but the thunder of His power, who can understand? We are completely surrounded by the goodness of God. We cannot escape it. Moreover, His goodness toward us comes from every possible source. In verses 7 through 9 of Psalm 36, David continued the theme of God's generosity, which is so precious to us. Therefore, he says, as little chicks, we hide under the protective and loving wings of God. My neighbor at one time had some chicks. And this is what they do. When out of their pen, they seek the shadow of protection, even in the shadow of a tree. Now friends, see the picture of God's kindness toward us. He abundantly satisfies us with the fullness of His house. He gives us drink from the river of His pleasures. He is our fountain of life. He is our light. Contrarywise, the wicked commits crimes because he believes these things about himself. Let me give you Psalm 36, verse 2 again. For it says, "For he flatters himself," that is, the wicked flatters himself in his own eyes, "when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates." In other words, he has a high view of himself. He values himself highly. And he likes the evil that he commits. Now continuing in Psalm 36, verses 10 and 11. Because of the goodness of God, David now shows us that the righteous depend upon God. David said, "Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away." Well, based on the truths of verses 5 through 9, David pleads for the Lord to continue what he has been doing. David was enjoying God and His blessings. And I'd encourage you to read Psalm 37, where you will find more of these good things, especially of delighting in God. Have you ever thought about just delighting in God rather than in His blessings? We think about enjoying our blessings, but what about just enjoying God Himself for who He is? Read Psalm 37. Anyways, getting back to Psalm 36, David wanted protection from the way of the wicked that he mentioned in verses 1 through 4. You see, the wicked criminal is not impressed with a righteous man's trust in God. Therefore, we need the help of God. And God may use any means to accomplish this. But I think it's interesting that David did not make his plea to the government or any other function of man. Now, in contrast to that, the very last verse shows that this is where the wicked fall. David wrote, "There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise." Do you see now why the workers of iniquity have fallen? God is not in the minds of the wicked. Therefore, they cannot keep from falling. This is even true of those who are not criminal, but just good citizens. If they are not children of God, their goodness is not rooted in the Lord. So, they can easily fall. from their goodness that they may have. The criminal and the wicked are cast down by God, and David said, therefore, they cannot rise. So which shall you be? Shall you be as the wicked, or shall you be as the righteous? Dear friends, we want you to be as the righteous. My sincere desire is that all of us would be characterized by the attitude of the righteous, respecting God for what He is, for who He is, and for what He does for us. But the irony of the wicked is that God knows the way of the wicked. In verses 1 through 4, God, through David, reveals the thoughts and ways of the wicked. And ironically, the wicked thinks that he gets away with his sin. He believes that God does not know, or does not care, or is not there. But in the judgment, he shall find out otherwise. And of course, at the judgment, it's too late to change one's life. As you read through Psalm 36, it's easy to visualize the psalmist sitting upon some beautiful mountainside, beholding, studying, appreciating God's beautiful world. Remember, we heard him talk about seeing God's goodness far above, up into the heavens. But then he spoke about, I could also see it lower in the clouds and down like that. So in other words, you can tell that he was up high as he made this observation. He looks at the heavens, at the clouds floating by, at the great majestic mountains, at the sea in the distance, at the shadows, at the river. And each one of these reminds him of something great, something providential about God. He uses each of these as illustrations, as analogies, that we might see the overwhelming goodness of God for the righteous. Sadly, the evolutionist looks at nature and sees nothing but natural processes, and even then makes serious, erroneous assumptions. My friends, let us look at our surroundings and be reminded of God or of various characteristics of Him. But of course, if you want to know God more, if you want to understand all His ways, you must search the Scriptures. For that is a collection of writings that He had various men write down of His thoughts. And those have been delivered to us that we might understand the ways of God fully. Furthermore, the Scriptures will show you Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the living God, making Him also Lord of heaven and earth. Being the Lord of heaven and earth, He is also going to be the judge. At the end, when this life is over, and we're taken off this earth, and we must stand before the judgment seat of God, it is Jesus Christ who will be seated on the throne of God. And then we will have to give an account to Him of how we lived. For those who have never had their sins forgiven, they will have to give an account to the Holy One of their unholy lives. What a terrifying experience that will be. But for those whose sins have been forgiven, they will not have to give an account of evil. Because when God forgives, He also forgets. And I am sure that that's what you want. I am sure that you want to be able to stand before God only speaking of the good that happened in your life. In order for that to happen, you need Jesus Christ. You need to believe in Him with all your heart. But you also need to repent, that is, to turn away from your sins in order to be consistent with your belief. But then He also wants you to be baptized, immersed in water, so that he may forgive you of all your past sins. Now, the baptism itself, neither you nor the church nor the water is what's forgiving you. God is doing it. By his grace, he is doing it when you give heed to his commands. Friends, the Nile Street Church of Christ is very interested in showing you the way of salvation. They want to sit down with you and show you what the Scriptures teach. Therefore, you are invited to worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ. There are Bible classes for all ages at 10 o'clock. There's worship at 11 and again in the evening at 6. Won't you come down and worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ? Till next Sunday, sharpen your perception about the difference between the wicked and the righteous. This has been Perception with Don Rule and the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due,